T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Oh, what up and welcome to Maggie and Perloff. Fantastic Wednesday. Well, not really a fantastic Wednesday for the NFL or anyone associated with the Washington Commanders. It is not a great day, Perloff, when you're getting dragged in front of the House Oversight Committee and being grilled for 2.5 hours like what happened to Roger Goodell today. So some of the biggest things to take away from this, and we're going to try really hard not to get bogged down to the politics of this because it's not worth it and it doesn't serve our purposes at all as a sports talk radio show. The big thing to take away is that Daniel Snyder is going to be subpoenaed, and that's supposed to happen next week. So get your popcorn ready for that, to finally hear Daniel Snyder would be under oath in this scenario and would be asked questions from both sides of the aisle in this House Oversight Committee. That was a very big development today.
Right, unless he can fight it legally and quash the subpoena.
Right.
Yeah, this is really interesting. Where does this go from here? I'm curious, you know, you watch really closely.
Yep.
If Snyder doesn't go up next week, was there enough today that happened that really will move this story forward and eventually lead to a change in ownership in Washington?
Well, you know, never say never, because there's been a lot of times where I thought, man, this guy is like Teflon. How is he able to survive essentially 20 years of a toxic workplace? And nobody's disputing that, by the way. Goodell's not disputing that. You're not even finding the, you know, certain politicians who might be more backing Daniel Snyder. Like, no one's disputing that they had a bad workplace environment. So you can build all this stuff on top of each other. Some of the new things that came out today was that Snyder was trying to interfere with the women, mostly, who were coming forward saying what a toxic environment this was. Some sued, some settled. There's a variety of different things. But that Snyder was like sicking PIs on them, private investigators, trying to create dossiers on people, trying to get access to their correspondence, whether or not they spoke to reporters. I mean, really doing some underhanded, dirty stuff to try to, A, discredit the women who were accusing him of bad things, and B, basically try to pin this all on one person, which was Bruce Allen, who was the former president of the team. So, like, there's a lot of dirty tricks type of thing. Like, there's a crime, and that, or not crime, there was misconduct, maybe as accurate as I can be here. It was maybe a crime, but misconduct that happened, and then also like a potential cover-up. And I think that's what forced this basically to Congress. Like, the idea that all these bad things went down, nobody's disputing that, but also that there could have been a cover-up in place, and that's where Goodell came in, because the politicians were trying to get to the bottom of whether or not he was active in trying to cover this for Daniel Snyder.
Right. And then I think everything today got lost in a bunch of noise.
Oh, man.
There was so much noise.
Circus.
I've been trying to think about this question. Why does Roger Goodell and the NFL owners, the other 31 owners, cling to Daniel Snyder? This is terrible for the league, right? To be dragged out in front of everyone, like, this is the last thing they want. I mean, ratings will probably be fine in the fall. Is it possible the NFL thinks, among other reasons, we're better when we're a unified front of 32 owners? So we hire this guy who's adept at sidestepping controversies and can answer these questions instead of, you know, the biggest existential questions that you ever face the NFL are when other owners go at owners. That's not good.
Right.
So they're probably trying to put up a unified front, but I don't know if it can uphold this. I just honestly think the NFL has to look at this and say, wow, is he worth it anymore?
This is just an avalanche, right, of bad things. And now you're getting one specific owner that's being singled out to get, you know, to come in front of Congress. Like, yeah, nobody's going to like that, first of all. The one thing I think the other owners are so worried about is not that Daniel Snyder's got, like, compromising photos of them, or not that Daniel Snyder's so litigious that he's going to be a pain in the neck.
Both of those are true, by the way.
Those are true. I don't know about the photos, but both of those are true.
No, I'm joking.
But he's litigious. But the other part is that I think a lot of them are concerned that there's a pathway now to get your team taken away, and for the owners to vote on getting your team taken away. And if you're listening and you're thinking, well, what about Jerry Richardson, who is the owner of the Carolina Panthers, who ultimately sold his team? It was an expose by Sports Illustrated. Our friend John Wertheim uncovered improprieties that the owner was doing to women, racial slurs, horrible stuff. The owners never voted whether to get him out. He was older. I don't think his health was great, Jerry Richardson, and his children or his heirs didn't want to own an NFL team, so they sold it for $2+ billion and just cashed out. The Donald Sterling thing in the NBA was the NBA forcing him to sell. That was Adam Silver saying he's going to be kicked out of the league, and they forced him to sell. I just think that I'll never say never that this, as I said, avalanche of stuff against Daniel Snyder that's gone on for like two decades has to mean something. That has to be something that the NFL doesn't think they can sweep under the rug.
Although NFL has gone through a lot. You know, they've got through the concussion thing, which makes no sense. There was even a movie about it called Concussion.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I don't know how they got it. That was in front of Congress too. It was unbelievable.
$1 billion settlement.
It's unbelievable they got through that. They got through Colin Kaepernick in a lot of ways, which could have, I think historically, will look really bad for the NFL, but it feels like they weathered that storm. They got through the Deflategate mess. Not that, that's much, much less serious, but it became a mess.
It got brought up today. Deflategate got brought up today.
And it went to court, and there was all sorts of crazy things. The NFL, maybe you disagree with this, like, they are completely Teflon in a way. They've gone through a lot. I don't feel like anything that happened today, I feel like it could lead to the end of Daniel Snyder. I don't feel like the NFL took a real knockout blow.
No, but I also don't think, like, the NFL itself was, like, being represented by Roger Goodell. But this was about Daniel Snyder. I mean, for the House Oversight Committee, it should be about Daniel Snyder. Well, the reason why is because, and this is what the people, the politicians who are on the committee will tell you, that this is a clear example of, like, sustained toxic workplace that should be investigated, that doesn't seem like maybe very recently got better, but when you still have the person in charge, like the Daniel Snyder hasn't been removed, so how can you really say that the culture is fully rehabbed, even though you took some people in and out of their positions, right? So they can use this very high profile example to try to create legislation that would help other Americans and that other workplaces would have to abide by.
But I think it's very confusing when you say Washington, that is not an NFL workplace.
It is. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
They're using a very high profile specific example.
But so are they going against the whole NFL or going against Washington? I think for fans, that's a slightly confusing thing. It seems like they're going against the whole NFL.
Yeah, no, that's not what, at least the, like, you know, some politicians get totally off the rails. Again, they talk about Deflategate. There was talk of a tampon shortage that's coming up. Mm. I mean, this thing got really wacky, but the intent was to try to look at the Washington football team and see how that could correlate to other private businesses and workplaces. And let's not forget, the NFL enjoys a lot of protections under our government and our laws. So there is, like, a reason why you might want to look at a private entity like the Washington football team.
Well, I think the big question, though, too, was, like, Roger Goodell, why aren't you making this guy leave? So it does become an NFL thing. The reason they wouldn't pull up Roger Goodell if it was just a Washington football team story. It's an NFL story.
So the way that they get together is that Roger Goodell and the NFL and the Washington football team both came together to have, like, a joint legal protection that one side could not release the findings of this investigation if the other side didn't want it to. So both the NFL and the Washington football team both would have entered a legal agreement that they both would have to sign off on releasing the findings of this investigation where all these women were sexually harassed. And obviously, the Washington football team doesn't want those to become public. Neither does the NFL, I'm sure. So that's where the NFL gets brought in, because they entered a legal agreement with the Washington football team.
Well, that's all logistic. But no, yeah. The reality of what happened today was the NFL got brought in because a congressman said, Roger Goodell, are you going to force Daniel Snyder out? And he said, I don't have the authority.
He's not wrong.
It's a big deal. Like, basically, I think I understand all those very important details, but I think to the average fan who's watching this, let's call it, it was a bit of political theater today.
Totally.
They wonder, like, what is the NFL's role? What is Daniel Snyder's role? And unfortunately, I don't think the complexity, I think a lot of the complexities were lost in everything that happened
in
today.
The circus, yeah, I like think atmosphere.
You're doing a great job of explaining
I'm trying.
Some of those.
It's very complicated. Go back through Daniel Snyder 20 years of just awfulness.
Yeah, there's a lot to go through here. The NFL, I do think, was on trial to some extent today. Why aren't you firing Daniel Snyder? And it's a valid question.
Yeah, but, and Goodell said he can't. So he really can't. Goodell, you can say he had some major inconsistencies in his testimony today, being kind there. But one thing he's right about is he alone cannot remove Daniel Snyder. They need a vote,
24 out of 32.
Two-thirds, yeah.
Why do the other 24, if I'm one of the other 24 owners, I say, Daniel, thanks for your service. We got to move on. This could be an $8 billion franchise. It's Washington.
I know.
Look at what the Broncos sold for, 4.6. Washington's one of the premier franchises on the East Coast, in the NFC East.
Yep.
Why I'd still, and we've been talking about this, just tell them to go away.
Yeah, I don't think they want to do that. They don't want to do that because, again, nobody wants Congress snooping around in their organization. Nobody, but Daniel Snyder is obviously, the Washington's an exception here. This has been going on for years and
right.
decades.
The pathway is 20 years of controversy, then Congress pulls you out. That's not a common.
It's not exactly a pathway. You're right.
No, Washington being in Washington definitely had an impact on why they're being pulled into Congress. All those congressmen watch Washington football games every Sunday on local TV. They're a very visible team. I don't think this is really a pathway, because if that's a pathway, then an owner can say, well, it's going to take 23 years to kick me out.
I know.
I know how you feel about this, but I think it's time for the NFL owners to step up and say, you got to go.
Well, I mean, if they didn't get the message today, I don't know when they're ever going to get the message.
I mean, we've talked about bad owners in sports all around. Like,
right.
Obviously, you know, there's Sterling, but like James Dolan is obviously not a well-known bad owner. And obviously Snyder, like they're bad owners, and they've been known to be bad owners for a long time. Not just what they've done on and off the court, just being bad owners. At what point is it that an owner is detrimental to a league? Right, like Jerry Richardson sold the team, but like he probably could have held on to it. Sterling was forced to sell the team, but at what point?
Right, but Sterling also owned the team for what, 25 years before then, or
right.
however long.
So, like, at what point is an owner really detrimental to a league? Like,
well, maybe
like does the NFL really suffer because of Snyder being a terrible person?
Well, maybe we found out the moment. Maybe today's the line in the sand when he's getting subpoenaed before the House Oversight Committee.
I mean, do you really think that today is the line in the sand?
I hope
it is, but do you really think so?
Here's the thing. I go back and forth, because sometimes you want to just say, like, throw up your hands and be like, oh, you know, nothing will ever work and he'll never get rid of him. But, you know, a lot of people thought that about Donald Sterling. You know, everyone knew that he was a bad actor. And for many years, it went just, well, that's just him. And eventually he got his franchise taken away. So, you know, Jerry Richardson was doing this stuff behind the scenes. You know, not a lot of us knew about it, but he did have to sell his franchise. Like, I don't know. That seems like progress, right?
Well, I think we knew Donald Sterling was a terrible owner because the team was bad. I don't think we knew all the other stuff.
Maybe not the racial slurs and things like that.
Yeah,
but
I felt like that came out and like 2 weeks later, he's gone.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a completely different situation. This has been going on for over a decade.
So the only reason why I think that more people knew about, maybe not the actual specifics, but I remember talking to certain NBA reporters who were very, you know, who were covering the league at that time, who had expressed regret to me behind the scenes that this was like one of the big failures of the NBA media, that nobody actually went after Donald Sterling and could have like really investigated what he was about.
Right, meaning that nobody knew of that. So people just,
but there was like some smoke and nobody really knew how much fire was there.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Snyder is so different too, because I think Jerry Jones is the most powerful owner. But then you're getting right next. Then you're Snyder and Robert Kraft are in the discussion. It's 2 and 3. He's made a ton of money. He's very, very powerful. And he's very, very close to Jerry Jones. So it's much more complicated. He's not Jerry Richardson, who is kind of out of probably
no,
not.
No, Jerry Richardson, remember during the lockout? it was Jerry Richardson was everywhere.
Right. Well, I'm telling you from a friend who worked with these guys said that, like, basically Jones runs a league and Daniel Snyder is his right-hand man. I don't know if that's true. I definitely think Jerry Jones has an abnormal amount of power.
I would agree with you.
Sure seems that way, at least.
He definitely seems to carry himself that way. Yes. And I think that Jerry Jones was very influential in getting the Rams moving to L.A. and a lot of other things. Like, with his blessing, I think that a lot of that moved pretty quickly. So, yeah, not great. Not great when you're getting dragged in front of Congress. Yes, do you want to? Is this worth reading?
It's not, I mean, so Dan Snyder, his wife Tanya, and team president Jason Wright, who, if you've ever spoken to Jason Wright, is this incredibly impressive guy.
Mm-hmm.
So intelligent, so smart, so just focused, just a great dude. They released an incredibly long statement with various different facts and information, but the main thing that I'm getting out of it is some of the comments in the media have portrayed our team in a harsh and negative manner that does not reflect who we are as an organization today. Nor do they acknowledge that for the past 2 years, we have been dedicated to making much needed and meaningful changes to our workplace culture, which is true. They've made a lot of internal changes.
Right. But the top of the food chain is still the top of the food chain.
Correct.
And that is Daniel Snyder. So you have to ask yourself, is ever anything going to, yes, things can change and you can put new people in. But when you have that guy, is like, it's rotted from the head, you know, like there's a reason why that expression that I just butchered exists.
And the other part of it is Snyder, up until now, between that shadow investigation and just plausible deniability, has been able to distance himself from what's been going on under his watch. All right, it happened under my watch, but it wasn't me. But we've seen enough allegations, and then that new allegation that came out that we finally saw the details of that settlement from 2009, that he allegedly groped a woman and tried to force her on an airplane and all these different things. Like, now he's being directly involved in this toxic workplace culture, not just overseeing it.
Well, and that
to me has to be the red line.
Yeah, right. And he's saying that those that's meritless, but that he paid this woman $1.6 million because the insurance company recommended it.
And she's not the only one who's accusing him of stuff.
Right. And the woman who talked in front of Congress a couple months ago said that he was, you know, put his hands on her and tried to force her into a limousine. Yeah, no, this is not good. Maybe that's the line in the sand. It's actual Snyder and a woman saying that she was groped by him. Maybe, Perloff, maybe. That's the line. 855-212-4CBS. I mean, geez, I'd hope so. 855-212-4227. So that's the big news of what's going on today. We have plenty more to get to, including all the rumors we're hearing before the NBA draft. We've got the biggest rivalry in college football, which just got a whole lot spicier. All that coming your way here on Maggie and Perloff. Don't go anywhere. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Or on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Okay, so NFL, Roger Goodell in Congress today. Still some other news percolating around the NFL as well. I think everyone is sort of trying to figure out what the league's going to look like without Rob Gronkowski, or just assuming he'll be back. It's sort of split down the middle.
I mean, he already retired once.
I know. I've never seen a retirement that has been honored as little as Gronk's most recent retirement.
Nobody believes it. Even his agent was like, don't buy it. When Brady calls, he'll be there. Don't worry.
I believe it because there was so much work put into that Instagram post. It was this really cool thing they did with Photoshop to the photo. And did you see how many words were in it? For Gronk, that's an amazing amount of words.
I know. He had a whole Instagram slide. This is easily 300 words. But it started off with, in college, I was asked to write about a dream job opportunity that I wanted to pursue and where the location would be. I mean, I'm not trying to be that person, but does that sound like a college assignment? Do you think they had special, a special lane for Gronk? Just like, write about a dream job. I feel like that's like the, you know, isn't that what you write when you're like in third grade?
Well, I think maybe the whole football team might have a special lane. We're not saying that's how schools work, but we know.
They got to.
They got to do it. Like, but then what would a Gronk special lane look like? Like the physics of opening a beer can would be a class. Like what would a Gronk's curriculum, ideal curriculum?
Oh my God, we should do that. It's the comparative politics of, you know, bikinis versus one piece.
Yes.
Bathing suits.
A dance class where basically he's just pumping his fist.
I think the ideal temperature of a hot tub.
The idea, yeah. There's a lot of science here.
There is. I wonder his major is the minor, like party planning, you know.
Yes.
Majored in party planning, minored in
a geography
dance
class, trying to figure out the best party city. Is it Vegas? Is it Miami?
Let's sail the Grand Cruise everywhere. A Grand Cruise around the world. You know, a little geography there. Ibiza. You get some other party ports.
It's definitely a music appreciation
yes,
class.
Only party rockers, their complete history. Instead of the history of rock and roll, the history just of the party rock.
Now you've
party
heard,
rock anthem.
I'm just remembering this. You've seen the reports that Gronk's great at math, right?
You know, somehow though, it actually wouldn't surprise me.
I gotta tell you.
If you just times things by 12 in a 12-pack, or 10 yards at a time, 6 points at a time. I bet he's good at very, very specific math.
I'll be honest. I know we're making a bit here. I think Rob Gronkowski's actually pretty smart.
Well, he's come up with this. I just don't think it's a persona. Like, I think it's actually him. He just leans into it. I don't think it took, like, a lot of crafting to make this Gronk character.
I feel like, I disagree a little bit. I think there is some acting up. He's like, I think Gronk has to fill these shoes of being Gronk. I think he's a different person.
So you must not have been lucky enough to read his autobiography. As I interviewed Gronk once at a Barnes & Noble in New York about his book, and I was dumber after reading that book than I was when I started it. And how many times can you say that about a book? I also was lucky enough to meet his father that day.
Once again.
Gordy. Yeah.
Playing into the stereotype.
He's perpetuating it, He's perpetuating.
Yeah.
I mean, how else would I get this amazing anecdote that, this is just what I remember off the top of my head from the Gronk autobiography, was they would throw house parties when he was at Arizona, and they would flood the floor, the first floor,
right,
and then they would spray soap everywhere, and then open up the doors from the back of the house to the front of the house. And you would have to slide, like, probably naked. I think they might have said that. From one door out the other door. And, like, that was one anecdote. And then the other was to get into the hot tub, I think you had, for women, had to, like, disrobe something. And you had to throw either bras or bathing suit tops or whatever up into a tree that was, like, over the hot tub.
So you're saying.
Again.
Just doing these
things.
Are
we smarter or are we dumber? Yeah.
Just doing these things does not mean he's not a smart person. The fact that he decides to share them in a book.
Yes. And then get interviewed by people from Sports Illustrated. Now that
Although the thing with the soap and the hot water.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Kind of. I'll bet you a lot of people. We did that at college.
So he also. Yeah. This was one thing. This is just actually now funny things I'm remembering. He once did get hired to be like a. He got hired to be entertainment for a party and didn't realize that it was like that they wanted him to strip. Something going on. Anyway, Gronk's autobiography.
I was at a Super Bowl party. It was a morning. It was like a brunch. It was like Bloody Marys and things. Gronk was sitting in the corner, and he was totally quiet, just sitting there. Then he got up on stage, and it was a completely different person.
Yeah, well, he's a performer.
He's a performer. I think it's so much of that. I know you think he's a total meathead, and there is some evidence to say that. I think there's more layers.
Wow. wow, there's more to Gronk than meets the eye.
And by the way, to say that is not an outrageous statement because I think right now people think there's no layers.
It's a real hot take. It's probably the hottest one you've ever had on the show.
I'd say like two or three layers. I'm not saying he is, give me a name here.
Like Thoreau?
Yeah, I'm not saying.
Like one of the great poets of our time. I don't know where you're looking.
I'm not saying. Who's the smartest person?
Like Albert Einstein?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Like he's got layers like an onion, so maybe Shrek. But I think there's one layer of Gronk, and that's just.
And it's covered in Bud Light.
I just gave for some reason, Neil deGrasse Tyson keeps showing me. I'm like, yeah. Gronk is not that, but he's somewhere closer to that than we think.
No, I'm sure Gronk has probably like looked up at the stars and probably wondered, you know. Something like just like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't know. This was supposed to be a segment on whether the Buccaneers
it's very relevant.
Super Bowl chances took a dive because Gronk retired. But I don't think any of us actually believe Gronk retired. We should. Do you want to talk about the Buccaneers?
Wait, just gotta say one thing real quick about the Bucs.
Okay.
Everyone's talking about Gronk retiring and Godwin coming off an ACL injury and some changes on the offensive line. No one's talking about the fact that they have a new head coach. Why? When do we think that a new head coach who happens to be a retread is going to make them Super Bowl favorites?
Okay.
They're second in odds in Vegas for Super Bowl champion. We don't talk at all about it. We assume, and you know why? Because we assume Tom Brady is so smart, it doesn't matter who the coach is. Brady is a de facto coach, kind of like LeBron in the NBA.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So Todd Bowles is an excellent defensive coordinator. Yes. We know that, right? So by virtue of hiring Todd Bowles and making him the head coach and not Byron Leftwich, what do they do? They basically said, Bowles, you take the defense. Byron Leftwich and Brady, they'll take the offense. And then the head coach decides, you know, when practices and all that stuff. Like, well, the logistics. When do we fly into New Orleans? What hotel do we stay at?
I think that's a bit of an assumption. Because Bruce Arians has had a ton of success in the NFL.
Yep.
I feel like that's being a little underplayed. Because I was here in New York for the Todd Bowles era.
Yeah, but he got dealt a pretty crapola hand. I mean, listen, they lost in Buffalo and they should have gone to the playoffs. That was definitely a team-wide failure if we want to go back and bring up old stuff. But then after that, I mean, he got a rookie Sam Darnold. All right, you go win with that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Am I being wrong? Like,
well, I think
think that he couldn't have a better – he couldn't succeed in this specific setup?
I think in normal circumstances, we would care more about a coaching change.
Right.
I think it's a big deal. Yeah, I think it's a big deal. Bruce Arians, of course, hit the player.
Yeah, he did. He got fined for it.
Yeah, I think the team's going to be worse without the coach salting his players on a regular basis to keep them in line.
No, I'm like,
I
don't know. Are you bringing that up as a positive or a negative?
Yeah, that's how you win football games.
Yeah.
No, I'm just.
What era?
I'm being joking a little bit. I do think Bruce Arians has had a positive impact that might be underappreciated. Like maybe he was a balance to Brady. So maybe there was something. But Bruce Arians has had a ton of. They just put his record up on the screen. It's unbelievable. He was 5-1 in the playoffs. Like Bruce Arians, I think, was a good coach.
Definitely.
I think he did a great job with Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich. I don't think it's as easy. I worry a little bit about that transition along with everything else. So if Gronk's out there, Godwin is not himself. The offensive line doesn't gel immediately. I wonder if the Bucs are going to be good enough for Gronk to come out of retirement in November.
Oh, like it won't matter?
Well, they have to be right. He's got to know they're going to the Super Bowl to come back. He's got to know this is a very good team.
I think he's going to get that. I mean, there still are all, like, the core pieces of the Super Bowl winning team are still there, right? I mean, you still have Ryan Jensen, who's still the center, right? He came back, so that's important. And you got Brady. You still have Mike Evans. Yes, Godwin's coming off of, you know, of an injury, no doubt. But you still have Leonard Fournette as your running back.
A little older than Leonard Fournette.
Okay, on the defense, you still have Vita Vea. You still have Hicks. You still have Devin White. Levante David, a little older. You still have Shaq Barrett. Carlton Davis. You still have Antoine Winfield. Jamel Dean. All these guys are, this is the team. It's the same team,
Well, you
basically.
Don't have Antonio Brown. That's.
Yeah, but even you said he was very minimized
and
towards
then he
the
became,
end.
But then he became a thing again. It just feels like there's a lot of issues. Even last year, they were not really ready to go heading to last year's playoffs. They made a run against the Rams. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot of health. It takes a lot of things to go right. And if their schedule starts off pretty tough, I think they have to be like 8-3 for Gronk to come back. I know that sounds stupid, but I don't think Gronk's going to come back unless he really thinks there's something special going on.
I would say the opposite could be true. It's, yes, if they are like running away with it, I would say if I'm Gronkowski and I don't want to come back, I'd be like, you don't need me. Look at how well you're doing. They need Gronk if they're like 4-5. And Brady's really up against the ropes. And then we start asking, should he have come back? Should he have stayed retired? And then Gronk has to come. they're going to need him. And in the NFC, really, what's your record going to have to be to make the playoffs? You might not get home field, but what's your, you know?
Probably 10-7.
Okay.
You don't or 9-8. I think that they need to be a Super Bowl team for Gronk. I don't think it's like that. I think what you said makes perfect sense. That's good logic to that. I think Gronk's like, I'm not going back to make a wild card run. It's a lot of pain that he goes through. I think they need to be a Super Bowl team. And listen to the start of their schedule. At Dallas, at New Orleans, Green Bay, Kansas City.
No, it's not easy.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah, but then it evens out. You're playing against the NFC South. It's
I'm telling
not
you,
that
awesome. There's extra weight because they have to have a good record. They got the Ravens in Week 8. They have the Rams in Week 9. This is brutal. They have to have a good record for Gronk to come back.
Tom Brady calls, you pick up. Like, no offense to Gronk. I know he's his own person. He's his own business and own entity. Brady calls. You're picking up and you're
going. He just retired yesterday. You don't think Tom Brady had anything to do with that?
No, Brady knows. It's like, all right, take your spring break.
All right.
Your extended spring break where you'll be writing papers for such classes as how do bongs actually work? Actually, I don't know if he was a bong guy. Okay. Silence. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a dear friend of ours, phenomenal reporter, Nikki Jabala from the Washington Post, has been reporting on all this Daniel Snyder stuff, has reporting on the hearings today. All of that is going to come your way in just a moment, but it is the bottom of the hour. Time for a CBS Sports Update with our buddy Marco Belletti.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's time to ask the pros. You guys get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question.
Awesome. I will send one in.
You're the pro. You don't have to send a question. I mean, I guess you could.
Okay. Well, I have lots of questions of mine. Like, what can the 76ers get in a trade this week?
Okay, all right.
It's a big deal.
Enough about that. Let's get to more important matters. And that's Nikki Jabala, who is a dear, dear friend of ours. We all work together back at Sports Illustrated. She has gone on to do incredible things, right now working as a reporter for the Washington Post, and has been breaking news and following the Daniel Snyder ebbs and flows for the last 2 years. Nikki, it's so good to talk with you. We know this is a super busy day. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, I mean, let's start. It's our pleasure. Let's start with today. The biggest takeaway, if you can boil it down to one or two things, was what to you?
That not much happened for 2.5 hours. There was a lot of back and forth between committee members, you know, with some trying to deflect and make this about the Biden administration, and others really trying to dig in a little bit deeper on the sexual harassment allegations with the commanders. So there was a lot of that back and forth, and, you know, in Roger Goodell's testimony and in his answers and, you know, with the questioning thereafter, a lot of it was repeated information. It didn't feel like it produced much new information. I honestly thought the most interesting part of all this was before it all started, when you know, Chairwoman Maloney issued that 29-page memo outlining the committee's findings.
Nikki, what do you expect to come out of Maloney subpoenaing Daniel Snyder for next week? From what I don't know if you've had a chance to dive in, mm-hmm. Do you expect him to actually show up? Does he have to show up? Is there any choice here? Can he fight it legally?
I believe he has to show up or he could potentially be held in contempt. So this does, I mean, this is what makes the Oversight Committee different from most subcommittees, is that it does have subpoena power. You know, and he has to testify under oath now. So if he lies at all, he could be held for perjury. So it raises the stakes, certainly, for Dan Snyder.
No doubt. Nikki Jabal is our guest. Of course, she covers the Washington Commanders and has been covering this Daniel Snyder ebbs and flows for the Washington Post. You mentioned about the findings that the committee released even before the Goodell questioning started. Some of that is your reporting from the Washington Post about the shadow investigation that Daniel Snyder was running after women came forward and accused him of improprieties. Can you sort of flesh that out and why that's important?
Yeah, so the committee found, you know, through documents and depositions that in multiple interviews with former employees, current employees, that Snyder and his legal team were sending private investigators to the homes of former employees, of journalists, of attorneys for former employees. And they would also work the federal courts by using this thing called a Section 1782 petition to kind of get communication and build this dossier. It was a 100-slide PowerPoint presentation, essentially, in which the Snyder's legal team collected all this information on former employees, journalists, attorneys, and they would use private investigators to collect more info and to try to intimidate or silence victims as well. And, you know, through those private investigators, they try to get more information on Bruce Allen. I think that was another large part of what the memo stated, was that, you know, Dan Snyder tried to pin this on Bruce Allen, the former team president of the Commanders, by going through all these tactics. So this was while Beth Wilkinson was trying to do her investigation that was overseen by the NFL. So, there was a lot going on, and the committee basically alleges that Dan Snyder tried to influence Wilkinson's investigation to deflect blame and put this on Bruce Allen.
So, Nikki, if Daniel Snyder does appear next week, or when he does appear next week, will his testimony be enough to really start a movement to get him out of the league from the other owners?
Yeah, I mean, that's a million-dollar question, right? I mean, it's always been up to the owners. You know, I thought the allegations of financial impropriety might have a chance anytime you mess with NFL owners. You know, we know they don't like that. Don't mess with their money.
Right.
But, you know, so far there has not been a vote held, as to my knowledge, you know, and not many have been willing to go on record to even insinuate they would vote them out. And to do so, they would need 3/4 of membership to vote in favor. So that's at least 24 owners voting in favor of pushing them out. And that's never happened in the NFL. Even Jerry Richardson, I mean, technically he decided to sell the team on his own. They did not vote him out. So it would take a lot. And I think the prevailing belief is that the other owners don't want the tables turned on them. You know, perhaps they have other things that they don't want publicly disclosed as well. And if they vote out Dan Snyder, what would happen to them? So, you know, we'll see. But so far there have been a lot of pretty damning allegations and a lot of investigations. And so far there hasn't seemed to be much movement.
And Nikki, also the $1.6 million lawsuit, the settlement between a former employee. I mean, the details that just came out, we've known that there was like a large settlement that was made to a woman in 2009, but no one ever had the details of it. Now we have some details, and it's Daniel Snyder allegedly like groping and, you know, being completely inappropriate with this woman. And then she settled and signed an NDA also. It was that another thing along with like financial prize, like that's something that puts it, there's no innuendo there, right? Like that puts him there committing the act. Like, would that potentially be something that could get the owners to move?
Yeah, you would think, you know, it's certainly one to add to the list. Of course, Snyder and his team have outright denied these allegations, but this supposedly happened in 2009 and was detailed by Will Hobson, our in-house genius at the Post, you know, in which Snyder allegedly sexually assaulted a former team employee on his private plane. and Roger Goodell was asked about this during the hearing today, and he said he does not recall Snyder informing the league of these allegations when they happened in 2009, and you know, going back to the personal conduct policy, that could be in violation right there of a team not informing the league of such allegations, because the league is supposed to oversee any investigation into such allegations. So, you know, there's much more to that story, I believe. But yeah, we finally just got details on what those allegations were, and we'll see if it has any long-term ramifications for Snyder. I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing with all of this is, you know, we've had hearings, we've had investigations, and it's still kind of that wait and see approach. What will the owners do now?
Nikki, what's the reaction in Washington and D.C. and Virginia and Maryland? How can they not want Snyder out? Because the team hasn't been good as well as embarrassing. We sit up here in New York and wonder, aren't they getting tired of it?
Yeah, and I, you know, there are a lot of loyal fans. I mean, this once was a marquee franchise, you know, under Joe Gibbs and, you know, the Hogs. So that, these fans have been through a lot, and I think they understand what winning looks like. They understand what a well-run franchise looks like, and they have not seen it in the better part of two decades. So, yeah, there is a lot of frustration. There's still a lot of loyalty to the team, not necessarily Dan Snyder. But, yeah, certainly with each, you know, incident, each allegation, each new thing that pops up, I mean, there's not a joke, it's almost reality anymore that, you know, this is just a Wednesday for the Commanders to have a congressional hearing on their workplace culture, because there have been so many investigations. Their former head athletic trainer is being investigated by the DEA. I mean, the FTC might get involved. It's seemingly endless. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of frustration among fans, and you would think that, you know, it does affect the product on the field, certainly. I mean, you know, do the elite players want to come here to play for this team when there's so much drama going on? Do current players, are they affected by the outside noise? You know, with social media these days, I would argue that there's no way to completely shield them. But, you know, there's just so much going on with this franchise that, you know, I think there's a lot of frustration from all those involved.
Yeah, they could set a record for, like, subcommittees, you know, just based on the Washington Commanders. I'm sure that could be in the works. You know, Nikki, we just have another minute or so left, but, you know, one of the things Goodell said today is they do feel like they've been holding Daniel Snyder accountable. The $10 million fine and also him being away from the team for the better part of a year, although we saw him at the Commanders rebranding, like, front and center. So, has he actually been away from the team? Is it a punishment?
Not fully. He has been present at, you know, some major team events. He goes to every game. He was at the rebranding event. In the press release announcing Beth Wilkinson's findings, I don't know if you remember, but the league seemed to purposely keep it incredibly vague as to what he would be handling. It just said he would deal with finding a new stadium and other matters. So technically he hasn't violated any provision that was, you know, publicly relayed, because
no provisions were set, right? Of course.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to say he has not been involved in day-to-day operations, I don't know that they could claim that when he's been there.
Slight left turn, Nikki. Ron Rivera, I think everybody likes him in the league, and, you know, we've interviewed him. Will he be say they struggle with everything going on? My mind is that they can't fire Ron Rivera, even if they struggle. I feel like they need him as a positive representation.
Steward
of the team.
The ship, yeah.
I would agree. You know, after, if they have another losing season, that's three in a row for Rivera. So you just never know. And, you know, Dan Snyder, he has a history of always wanting a return on his investment. And at some point, he's going to get impatient. So will he pull the trigger? Will the NFL allow him to pull the trigger? Would it make sense to? I would agree with you that no, it wouldn't. You know, I also wonder, who are they going to find if they can't, you know, make it possible so Ron Rivera can fix things? It just seems like he's the best hope they have right now. So, you know, again, we'll see. I mean, a lot of it is going to depend on what happens to Snyder, if anything at all, and kind of where he's at with the team.
Nikki, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Nikki Jabval, of course, from the Washington Post, is covering the Washington Commanders and everything going on with Daniel Snyder, breaking news on a lot of this stuff and doing a fantastic job. Thank you, Nikki.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it. And we'll follow the twists and turns.
Wow.
Of this thing. What a beat to be on.
Yeah, she painted an interesting picture there, almost like too much to handle, where that's the thing about this case. Stories, you feel like, oh, okay, here we go again.
I know. That you shouldn't feel that way when it's been 20 years, basically, of improprieties. Coming up next, we turn our attention to the NBA offseason. We expect big things to go down tomorrow. We'll tell you which teams to keep an eye on. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and SiriusXM Channel 158.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.